My number one overrated is this podcast.
Oh, God, I hope that's not true, because that's going to be so good for an intro.
Commence the operation shutdown. Episode 12. This podcast is overrated.
All right, welcome back to the Operation Shutdown, episode 12. I'm Bearcat, host of the show, and I'm welcomed once again by friends of the show, Ed Grohl. Say hello, Ed.
Hello, everybody. Good to see you.
Sounding sexy as ever. And then our hot take master, Easy Pretzel. What's up?
How's everybody doing today?
Man, looking good, Easy.
I'm on one leg today on the podcast, by the way. So I had a ACL reconstruction, two different tears in my meniscus, and the MCL tear. So
I did it all. You did it all.
Thank you, Tampa Bay, Florida.
We'll just pour a little beer on it. You'll feel better. All right. Absolutely. So let's
note to self, never go to Gulf side towns in Florida. That's terrible.
That's terrible. All right. Let's start this one how we start all of them. What are we drinking? Easy, you first.
I would go first. A little emotional on the pod today, but I had a 13-year-old golden retriever that we got a month out when I graduated college. Her name was Molson Golden. She was a wonderful dog to me and my first dog actually ever. So it has not been an easy few weeks without her. But she was a great dog. Her hips went out on her, so we had to put her down. So I am drinking a Molson Golden, which is not that delicious, but for her, I love it. So that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. I raise a glass. Ed, you too. Cheers.
Sláinte.
Sorry to hear that, buddy.
Hey, Ed. What are you drinking?
All right. What once was thought to be a heady topper in the fridge, I am drinking a Focal Banger from Alchemist. A nice pleasant surprise. It says drink from the can, but F that. Throwing it in a nice bulbous Elysian pumpkin glass. So let's do this. I'm ready.
That's a winner. Good job. I am drinking Firestone Walker Double Jack, Double IPA. And this one was bottled on 10/26. So it's pretty fresh.
They're discontinuing that beer, is from what I've seen on the internet.
Oh no,
really?
That's not gonna be part of their normal thing. I think it was that Wookiee Jack, and there was one other that they pulled out.
But isn't that one of their like big flagship go to beers?
Unless I'm crazy, I'll have to look it up here when the pod. But I'm pretty sure that's one of the ones that they're pulling back.
What do I know? I only go off of the Federal Tap House tap list, so.
Yeah, most of the times where I've had their beers, that's where they've been.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you drinking that that Focal Banger out of the can, or are you drinking it in a glass, like a gentleman?
Glass like a gentleman. I'm not. I can't drink out of the can, but we'll get to that later. Well, oh, at least shit. This isn't a Buffalo Bills tailgate. I'm not drinking out of a can.
By the way, if any of you readers not been to Buffalo Bills tailgate, it's one of the greatest things that ever's happened that you've ever been to. I've been to over 10 Buffalo Bills games, and they are fantastic.
How many of them were to see the Patriots?
About half. Okay. One of the last times I went there, actually, maybe two times ago, the guy told me he wished I had a stroke just like Teddy Bruschi, and I died there. So that was a fun time. But I've learned to take the shit. I'm a Patriot fan, so there's nothing that can hurt me about the Patriots, because Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback ever, and Bill Belichick's the greatest coach, and the Patriots are the greatest franchise of all time, so you can't hurt me.
No more comments on that. That's digging deep. Oh my god,
that is so fucking mean.
I almost gave him like a handshake. I was like, you know what, that was pretty fucking fantastic. It's a joke.
Sick burn, dude.
Yeah. Wow. I wonder if he stayed up all night like, I can't wait till I see my first Patriots fan. I'm totally gonna slam with Teddy Bruschi's stroke joke. Probably practiced it on the whole way on the whole drive.
I'm good. I'm totally going to be on Vine, dude.
They're too drunk in Buffalo to worry about that.
Yeah. All right.
And by the way, I love Buffalo, the city. They have great wings, great food, great people. It's a great place to visit.
How's the beer scene there?
It's okay. They have a place that's called the Blue Monk. Fantastic. Got a lot of great Belgian beers on tap. Downtown Buffalo is being revitalized. They have this place that has like 100-foot, or this place is bigger than 100 foot. It's like the whole size of a whole restaurant screen. Amazing sports bar. It's right on the water, but it's fucking freezing there in November. So you have to go there in September and October for football games. And it has some public transportation there, but the scene is growing. But it's just, it's so tough because it is, snows there all the time. It's cold, but the people are great. So I don't even care. When I go there, I'll drink a Miller Lite, a Molson Canadian, Molson Triple X, whatever the hell, you know, is around. I don't care. It's a great place to go and eat bad food, drink shitty beer, and have fun because the people are great.
I really like Molson Canadian. That's a good shitty beer.
I love it.
Yeah, that's really good. And it's been years since I had a Molson Triple X. I remember when that was like a whale, right? It was hard to get. People were always hunting it down, trying to get it. That was a good beer.
When I was in college, it was Moosehead.
I'm here on the internet. Fans of Firestone, Walker Company, Wookie Jack, Double Jack, and Opal will wise up and stock up because they're phasing out the bottling of the special beers this year. So that was about a month ago. So Double Jack is gone soon. And I love Double Jack. It's one of my favorite beers.
Wow. Damn.
Are they replacing them with something, or is they're just phasing them out?
The article that was posted up there did not say.
All right. Well, we'll put that in the show notes. Damn, that's terrible. All right. So we're not here to talk about Buffalo or whatever Firestone Walker's doing with their year-round bottling, but we are here to talk about what are the overrated and underrated things within craft beer. These are not beers, okay? We're not going to say, you know, Northeast IPAs are underrated. We're not talking about styles. We're not talking about individual beers. We're talking about things in and around the craft beer. We all know that Ed thinks Natty Bow is underrated because shit beers is one true love. We're not talking about that. So we're going to be talking about things in and around craft beer. Okay, the first things we're going to do is we're going to do underrated first. And I'm going to jump in with the first one, and then we'll throw it around. All right, first one I have, the underrated piece, is your local brewery. Okay, so why is your local brewery underrated? We spend all this time chasing whales, looking for the next great thing, when a lot of times really good beer can be found right in your own backyard. And one of the components that's critical to what makes a good beer on a lot of these styles is freshness. And so being able to go to your local brewer and get the beer right there off the line means you're getting the beer at its maximum flavor, the way the brewer intended it. Also, beyond just the quality of the beer or its freshness and its availability and supporting your local businesses, you also get to hang out with your friends. And for me, that's the best part about drinking. Half the reason I set up this podcast, so I come on and talk with my friends while drinking beer in my basement. So being able to do that at the brewery is great. And so your local brewery, it's underrated. You should be more appreciative of your local breweries. And you should be going there and supporting them and drinking their beers and doing it with your friends. All right? All right. Who's up next? Ed, we're throwing it to you.
So we're going 1-1-1. Okay. Underrated. I'm going with my first one here. Traditional brewing styles. Ooh, and I'm going to look at a place I have in parentheses yards and stouts. I'm going to go with a traditional revolutionary, like the Ales of the Revolution. Let's go with the Porter that made Porter Porter. Let's go with you know, the pale ale that made pale ale pale ale. We don't need all these fruit beers and sours and everything to hang our dicks out and see how great everything is, you know, because we can be hipsters and do whatever. Can we do a traditional, can we do an ESB to style? Can we do a porter to style? Can we make it great? And that's one of my underrated things about beer. When you go to a place that does those styles well, that is awesome.
I like that. I like that. I appreciate it. I always like a good ESB. I back you up 100% on that one. All right, Dave, what do you got?
So I just want to chime on Ed's. I agree 100%, except for the fact that pale ales are awful. But my number three underrated is the scratch concept. So our local brewery in Pennsylvania is Trogues, and they have this great program where they try different beers, different styles. They tweak beers that they've had in a scratch program and trying to make it a regular beer. And I love that concept because Trogues, they have their IPA that everybody knows and their Mad Elf and whatever they have. Great. Now I drink that, but I go to the brewery every couple weeks just to try the scratch program. Let me try this mango beer. Let me try their Saison. Let me try their chocolate stout. They're trying to create new beers that are going to be their flagship beers, but they're letting their local people test out the concept and saying, yeah, this is good. You know, people walk around, hey, what do you think about this beer? Hey, this beer sucks. Well, you know what? Let's pull this one out. This beer is great. Yeah, I think you might need to change that. Yeah, I get a Blizzard of hops or a double Blizzard of hops. I get a different kind of beer. And I love that concept is I'm going to use my local people because they're local. They've had everything I've had. We have 15 flagship beers. Here's a bunch of new beers that we're going to try. You help us beta test basically what's going to be the new beer and be part of the program. And I love that. I wish every brewery did that. We talk about Pizza Boy probably way too much on this podcast. I love Pizza Boy. He's got a hop test where he's trying a Columbus hop or, you know, Simcoe, whatever. He has single hops. So you can learn the different hop flavors. I love that kind of thing. It gets me coming back to the brewery versus I don't need to go to 15 different local breweries because I want to go to places showing me different styles. It's going to educate me on being a better drinker. My palate's going to be better. And that's what should be my number one, but that's my number three.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. I didn't put these in any particular order. So, but those are both good examples. And I like how neither of you agreed with each other. That's great. Ed's sitting there like, I want traditional styles. And Dave's like, I want something new and different every fucking time.
give it time. We're going to go horns to horns here.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So, no particular order. Number two, I got bottle shops. I love bottle shops. Bottle shops it's another local concept. Your local bottle shop, you should find a good one and then you should become a regular there. You should get to know the guys there. You should develop a relationship with them, because if you want to be able to get good beers, get the rare beers, you need to have a relationship with them. You need to show up there regularly. You need to give them your business. And then, you know, you may be surprised to know this, but the way to get to make sure you get that worldwide stout by Dogfish Head that just came out for the first time in 3 years, the way you get that is by having a relationship with your local bottle shop. My guy knows that's a beer I'll buy a 4-pack or an 8-pack, 2 4-packs of. He holds them back for me. He knows I'm going to show up there every week, every other week. Guess what? I showed up and boom, they were on the counter and I bought them. Some people will complain that, you know, he's holding back stuff for certain customers. But if you're a regular customer, if you give them good business, if you have a relationship with them, they will take care of you. Bottle shops are about customer service. Your local beer distributor does not give a flying fuck about you. All he cares about is moving 30 packs. Bottle shops want you to make sure that you have good beer, that the beer is properly dated. They'll steer you away from stuff that, like, yeah, I had that, it wasn't that great. Or they'll say, this was really good. You want to buy a full 6-pack of this. You're going to want it. And so by having that relationship, you're gonna get better beer, you're gonna get better service. Bottle shops are underrated.
We have a mutual friend who went to Pitt who still can go call Carson Street Deli and have them put back beers for him. And he can just travel out there and be like, hey, I'm going back to college and pick up, hey, I got 2 4-packs of KBS or CBS or whatever the hell they were doing. You know, and that goes a long way when you create that relationship. It's awesome.
Yep. Yep. It's so important. All right, Ed, what do you got?
All right. Number two, homebrew competitions. And now I'm going to say this.
Wait, we're still in the underrated, Ed. Okay, yeah.
You got to feel where I'm coming from. And here's what I've come up with. When you go to a brew fest now, yeah, relax, everybody. When you go to...
Let me change my overrated. Wait, no. One second. Hold on.
Pause for laughter. 2, 3, 4. When you go to a brew fest these days, what do you expect?
Drunks.
Do you expect any brewers to be there giving their beers out? Or do you expect a bunch of girls that are there like, oh, I'm here with the distributor and da 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 da. You go to a homebrew fest, not only do you get the A-plus game that the homebrewer was bringing, you also get the guy who brewed it and can explain to you what is going on. And that is a lost art in every brew fest that goes on the planet right now. You do not get that personal touch, which is the way it used to be, and I'm going to call old man style here, back in the late 90s, that's the way it used to be. It was always brewers, but now that it's blown up, No brewer or nobody from the brewery wants to go and even give the time of day. You're going to go get somebody's A-plus beer, and it might not be great, but at least you got their best try. Now you can go to a brew fest and go, well, I talked to this girl, and she's like, well, I don't know, it's some maple honey thing. And then you taste it and go, no, that wasn't that great, and I've had it, and it's not that big a deal. I think that is an underrated thing in beer that people need to endorse a little bit more.
I think it's nice that you gave them points for trying. We're going to move on. Dave, what do you got?
Actually, I like the arguments you made. That's good because it's nice to talk to somebody who makes a beer and gives you the inside. But
I just totally disagree, and I don't want to be a dick about it. So just
move on. That's fine. I knew it was going to be weird, but it is something that I feel strongly about.
My number two is... First of all, I want to say what I'm drinking right now is that I cracked another beer because that Molson Canadian went down really, really fast. Or the Molson Golden, excuse me, went down really fast. I went to a brewery in Miami last weekend called Wakefield Brewery. And they actually had an event in Philadelphia randomly, a few months ago. I was in San Diego randomly in one of the best beer bars in the entire planet called Tornado. If you're in San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, go to Tornado. It's one of the greatest places ever.
The name dropping that you're performing right now is just amazing.
It's fantastic, yes. Yeah. So I was there, with a work colleague. We recognized Jay Wakefield, the brewer of Jay Wakefield in Miami. So I walk up and say, hey, are you Jay Wakefield? I was like, I knew who he was. He's a guest. I was like, hey, how's it going? We're from Pennsylvania. You have great beer. He actually broke out some crowlers and growlers that he had. Let us sample it, talk to him and his wife. They were very gracious, and they gave me their contact information, set me up with a tour in Miami, gave me some beers from their barrels they haven't released yet. Fantastic place. So if you go to Miami, Jay Wakefield Brewery is awesome, and their beer tastes amazing. This one, I don't know how much they can because they had a small little fridge of cans, so I don't think it's a lot. And it's a really small place in a cool artsy district of Miami. It was an awesome place. They had a Darth Vader that was like 75-foot Darth Vader on the side of their building. Was really cool. They had a painting of the cantina scene in Star Wars right in their entire brewery. What a great place. But it's called Who's On First. It's a double IPA, 9% brewed with honey. It's not a quite Northeast style, but it's got a little bit of that to it with the honey to it. And it's just crushable so far. I've been drinking it the last couple minutes. Very, very, very good, like everything else they have. I love that place. Please, if you go to Miami, go there. So, but anyways, my number two underrated is breweries that have other breweries on tap. And I'm not even going to bring up Pizza Boy because I keep bringing him up. But I love that I can go to a brewery that has their beer on tap, but also has somebody else, a local brewery, a national brewery. You know, hey, I want to get Hop Slam on tap or whatever the hot beer of the time is. I love that I can go and get different things, maybe get a growler or a crowler, take it home, and still have a chance to try the local brewer's beer. And somebody who's that confident in their beer to do that, I think that's one of the cool things about craft beer that I love the family relationship about.
That's nice. That's a rarity. We could use Millworks. Yeah, Millworks. They do that.
Yeah, they do a great job of that.
Yep. All right. Number three, underrated. I'm gonna be short about this. Pounders. I love Pounder cans. Underrated. Best vessel for getting my beers. I want Pounders. We need more Pounders. Pounder cans all day, every day. Pounders.
Beck's Pounders?
Beck's Pounders. For the Twitter followers of the podcast, Beck's Pounders. All right. Ed, what you got?
All right. Underrated. Now I'm scared to death because I'm afraid I'm just going to run off the stage like the Apollo. Breweries that do not distribute that are destination brewing.
God, and that is so in your wheelhouse. Oh, my God.
Yes. And here we go. I'm going to invoke the holy grail of Seelan's Grove Brewing. And everyone's rolling their eyes right now at me. But there is something to be said because what I feel that a lot of breweries do now is they open with the thought we're gonna distribute and we're going to make all this money and we're going to get shelf space. There is something to be said about the places that are going to be left after this, Dave, you said it, there's a bubble, and when it bursts, there's going to be, you know, certain places left. And I think that there's a lot to be said about, hey, you have to come here to get our beers, and you're not going to get them on shelves, and we're not fighting for shelf space, and we're not doing marketing, and da-da-da-da. You have to come here and get them. And I think that that is a lost art, and I think that that's something that's very underrated in the beer community.
So I agree with you because I've been to some places. Like there's a place called Twisted Rail in Canandaigua, which is upstate New York. I went to a wedding, and it was a place where we went there. It was right on the water. Their beer was okay. It wasn't anything great. They had some ciders. It was just a place to go, and it was an amazing place. It's a place that if I was upstate New York, I would go. Now I know, I have to go back there again. They had great food. Great atmosphere. The beer was good enough. It was what it was. So I think that's a really good that destination thing is really, really, really a good point. And I think people underestimate how important location is when it comes to those craft beers.
I agree with that.
But my number one underrated, which it might even be against the rules, is Belgian beer. I don't understand when I go on Facebook and I'm a part of these Facebook trade groups and these guys sell stuff and trade stuff. They will sell a Cantillon Goose or Saison de Pont, whatever it is, for, you know, the Treehouse straight up. I'm like, guys, this is like the best beer on the planet and you're trading it for these fresh Northeast IPAs. And I love Northeast IPAs more than probably anybody that I've ever met. But those Cantillon Goose, all those kind of things, it just, they're so delicious. They're so hard to get. You shouldn't be trading that rare beer for some IPAs. So my number one is the Belgian beer.
Yeah, and those beers appear, I mean, like, we have friends bring them over to the house, and they just go bananas for them. And they wait in line and go do all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, are you serious for an IPA? You're right. I'm with you 100% on that.
Yeah, I'm with you, too. I do think that that's within the confines of the rules on this one. I'll allow it. I totally agree. The Belgians know what they're doing. It's so hard to get those things, and they need to be treated like the precious commodity that they are. To trade them away, it just seems sacrilegious to me.
I mean, like Phantom Saison is like one of my favorite beers, which I hope everybody in the podcast doesn't drink, and I hope you hate every single one of them and hope it tastes like Band-Aids for you all, because I love that beer and most people hate that beer. That's okay. But it's one of those beers that's amazing that a lot of people don't know about. And I don't want anybody to know about because it's so good that people hate it because they're confused about the flavor. But it's amazing, and they don't have time to, because they're worried about IPAs, to drink a Saison that's a little bit different.
I was alive for Clingers. I've had very many Fantôme beers. Some of them taste like dirty socks. Some of them tasted great. And let me tell you.
I call it the Fantôme Roulette, baby. That's what it's called. Yeah.
And let me tell you, I'll take that over any Treehouse beer. I don't give a shit.
Well, I just hope both of our listeners don't run out trying to find them, because Dave's going to be really disappointed.
Hey, listen, we got over 100. We got 150 different people have downloaded the podcast.
Yeah, I shouldn't put too much.
Don't be hating on our listeners.
Yeah, no. We do love our listeners. Our listeners are also very loyal. All right,
listen, this beer podcast really sucks. So I mean, this cannot be this has to be one of the best podcasts out there. So well, I don't want to hear anything about
it. We have a 4-star rating on iTunes.
I hope so. Our podcast is pretty good. And Ed is so handsome. Why would you not want to download the podcast?
I'll listen to Blue Eyes telling me I'm handsome. Get the fuck out of here.
I got the baby blues, but Ed's got the nice chin, though. He's great.
Yeah. No, that's all. I manufactured that with fake hair.
All right. I think now's a good time to talk about our second beer. Easy, we heard about your second beer. I'm pouring mine right now. Ed, are you on number two?
I got to be honest with you. I'm going to have to go get a second beer, so I'll be back in a minute.
Go get your second beer. I'll throw on some elevator music.
There you go, Billy. Here's the Jay Wakefield. Who's on first?
That looks nice. How do you like it?
Yeah. Oh, it's delicious. It's got the honey. It's like a great double IPA with a little bit of honey. It's got a hop slam, but with a Northeast flavor almost. That's kind of like the way to describe it. It's really good.
Nice. Yeah, when you said honey in an IPA, I thought immediately thought hot
sauce. I usually fucking hate honey, so.
Okay.
It's really good.
Jesus Christ, Ed, get the fucking beer.
What the fuck beer did you get?
You're on mute, Ed.
Got it.
What'd you get? You got a fucking cork and cage. Did you get a Trogs?
Bourbon Troganator.
There you go.
In 3 months, when she realizes this isn't in there, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble, but I don't care.
All right. After that little interlude, Ed's back. Ed, what you're on beer number two. What do you got?
Found myself a Bourbon Troganator, 10.8%. Not sure what the date is on this, but should be pretty good.
That's the most recent one. It's the little bottles, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 2016. That was early 2016.
It smells quite boozy, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Oh, great. We're going to have another Drunk Ed in the after show.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, everyone really liked Drunk Ed in the after show. That's sweet. Get loaded, dude.
My people have spoken.
All right, my number two is Little Bee by Evil Twin Brewing, a Imperial Porter, 11.5%. It's boozy as hell, and it tastes wow. That's really boozy. A lot of molasses in that one. It seems not bad. That's really good. I like that. Really dry in the finish. Yeah, I like that one. All right, are you still on number two there, Easy? You move on.
I am.
Three.
I got something coming here. I got to finish up this Jay Wakefield.
All right, we'll check in on that in a second. Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. This is the half I really wanted. We're gonna talk about overrated things in craft beer. Overrated. Time to bring the hate. Okay, my number one overrated. Your buddy's homebrew.
Wait, number one or number three?
It doesn't matter. I didn't really put them in any particular order.
Okay.
Right. Started from the bottom, now we on the top.
I hate all these things like so much. So like, I don't really
1A, 1B, 1C?
Yeah. Like, fuck them all. I hate your buddy's homebrew. Whoever he is, yeah, I'm sure he's got some kind of Pliny clone that's like exactly the fucking same. But like, seriously, it's probably dog shit. He brewed it in his fucking garage. It's nice. I homebrewed. I did it for a while. It's a ton of work. It can be a lot of fun. But by and large, most of the people I know that do it are like half a step above just doing it in the plastic Mr. Beer fucking canister. Okay? So much of it tastes like homebrewed. They're using extracts. They're not using whole grain. It's just, most of it is just garbage.
Have you ever tried a Mr. Beer beer? That's the question.
Have I ever tried a Mr. Beer beer?
Yes.
Yeah, I brewed a Mr. Beer beer in college. It was my first one.
It's not very good.
It's not very good. Of course. No. I didn't know what the hell I was doing then. I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I know enough not to do it. So there you go. My first overrated, your buddy's homebrew. Screw it. All right. Ed, what do you got?
First on my list, the term session. This is a sticking point with me that will never go away. Session beers are relegated to beers that are supposed to be brewed under 4% or under, like an ESB, a Pater's beer, a Berliner, something like that. But now they figured out a way to add this to not make IPAs cooler, to make pale ales worse, I guess is the whole thing. They're just pale ales. That's all you're doing. They have turned this thing into a marketing monster. And I know this because I put in a beer the other night that was supposed to be a session IPA. And I said, hey, I put it in as a pale ale. And he goes, that's all it is anyway. They only put it there as a way to make money. And that's it. And I hate the term. And it's,
you hate people making money.
I don't hate people making money. I'm Republican, I guess. I don't know. We're not going to get political, but
we're all kind. We were all former, maybe Republicans.
Yeah. Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. All right. Yeah, moving on. We'll do.
Take that out in post. Anyway, but what bothers me is that people will attach the freaking word session to anything, and it's just, wait, no, this is just a pale ale. This is not a session IPA. It bothers the hell out of me, and I cannot get over it.
Hey, I get that. I think that the term session IPA is a contradiction. Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, Dave, bring the heat.
All right. Well, I just tapped Soul Artisan's Ale out of Scranton, Wilkes-Barre area. I think they're having a bottle shop in Allentown, Swamp Witch. But I'm going to give it a little bit of time to digest this beer, because it's a little cold for the style, so I'll wait and I'll hit it on the way back. But my overrated number three was the 100 tap beer bars. There are so many places that pride themselves on having 100 taps, and meanwhile, half that beer is fucking shit. It tastes like garbage. It's either half garbage. There's a place I was at in Atlanta that had 100 beers, and 75 of them that I counted were all ABV or Miller Coors or whatever. I mean, it's all
Taco Mac.
You got it right. Taco Mac. It's fucking awful.
Knew it.
One of the worst places in America. And that's amazing that you knew that.
I'll be in at least three of them in 2 weeks. Don't worry.
So I don't care how many beers you have if you don't have quality beers. There's lots of places that have 100 that are quality, but there's lots of places that have 100 that are Blue Moon, Bud Light, Budweiser, Bud Select, Bud Black, you know, Miller Lite, cool, and fuck that. I don't care about your number. I care about the quantity. It's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. And that's what they say about the ladies, and that's what they say about the beer.
Now, to play devil's advocate on this, I agree with the fact that if you have 100 taps, you can put, what in the world's going on here? You can put Bud Miller Coors on, let's even say, 10 out of 100 taps. But the taps that you've left should not be relegated to, oh, our distributor is a Bud House, so we had to put all these taps on. Do something inventive with it, you know, and still keep your core audience that are sports bar people. I have no problem with that.
Correct. I 100% agree with you. That's exactly right.
So that... And you make a good point, and I knew you were talking about Taco Mac the minute you said it.
They have like Corona Light. I'm like, I didn't know Corona Light was on the goddamn tap list. Jesus Christ.
That's the worst. Corona Light? Who drinks that?
Because for Corona, if Corona was too heavy for you, we got Corona Light.
We have water and water light. Which...
They only put half a wedge of lime in the light one.
And we're only going to charge you $5.50 for the water light. It'd be awesome.
I totally agree with you. The 100 taps, you go to the wrong place, half the shit's old. The one thing I will say about 100 tap, when I see 100 tap place, I just always assume that I as the knowledgeable beer guy that I think I am, or I like to play that I am.
That almost said knowledgeable.
Knowledgeable. That I should be able to go in there and be like, okay, that's new, that's fresh, I should get that. But most people, I got to feel like they're not paying that much attention to what's coming on. You're absolutely right. 100 beer bars, overrated. All right, number two, we talked about this a little bit, beer fests. Beer fests are vastly overrated. I feel like I'm stealing Ed's thunder maybe on this one, given how he's reacting. Beer fests really did exist for a long time. They were interesting. They were fun. They were a way to bang stuff out. and really, at this point, they're just overplayed. They're overly crowded. They're full of fucking drunks. I'm tired of dealing with the crowds. And maybe it's just because I'm an old man. But I'm just, by and large, I'm just fucking done with them. I can't do it anymore.
I'm just going to say right now, because you can just get me at this point, is my number two was local beer fest. Because that's my most overrated.
I'm sorry.
same feeling is not
I
only
had
that.
Brew fest.
I got all these fucking people with pretzels around their neck. And then I have the same goddamn beer every year. How many times can I have the same beer from the same brewery at a goddamn beer fest? Bring something different to the table. Now, somebody that Ed is in a relationship with has a local beer fest that has they bring these beers specifically just for the beer fest. They're higher ABV. They're delicious. They're different. Some are awful. But at least I get to try something different than the same goddamn Strobe or Trogs beer. Like, I love it, Trogs, but I've had Perpetual 1,000 times. I don't have to have it at the beer fest. I want to have new beers. Try something crazy that may suck, but bring something to my table that my palate might never even had before. So fuck local beer fest.
Sorry, I skipped you. Do we?
I love that you guys just justified my underrated part where you both rolled your eyes, and now you are giving me credence, and I love that.
The opinions fly fast and loose around here.
Yeah, we forget things very quickly.
Just like the order that I screwed up because I skipped Dave. Sorry about that, dude.
That's actually awesome.
So, wait, just so I'm clear, we all did our first one, right?
Ed's got to go number two.
Ed, you got to go number two. What do you got?
Number two, waiting in line for bottle releases. I cannot goddamn stand that people do this. And I know that you're going to do it, but the fact that a brewery is like, we made 250 bottles or whatever the hell they do. And it's like, you have to show up at 5 in the morning, stand in line, and easy, relax. I know you do this. I'm like, I will never do that. I won't wait in line for a goddamn roller coaster or a cab in Vegas. And the fact that people will go and wait in line for 6 hours for a beer, I'm like, get the hell out of here. Why? Why? Explain it to me.
Now, I'll agree with you for the most part. Is the only time I wait in line, I'm a dad with two kids, right? So, and I'm my job and business, I'm a busy person. I will do it if it's an event for me and my friends. So, one of my neighbors, his family lives up in Wilkes-Barre, Scranton area, so his wife can go and the kid can go hang out. I'll go out, and that's our time to hang out, and we'll stand in line and get a beer that we couldn't get normally. Other than that, I 100% agree with you. I would never stand in line, but if that's my event, instead of going to a bar and hanging out and drinking some beers, if I can go drink some beers and stand in line, well, that's a different story. That's why I stand in line. That's it.
Yeah. I agree with you. I will say in my younger days, pre-kids, I enjoyed standing in line down there at Trogues for the Splinter Blue, Splinter Black. It was great. Loved it. The original Splinter Gold. That was fun. It also wasn't standing in line for 5 hours. I was standing in a parking lot for an hour with people that I knew. And that was a good time. But by
I'll give you now, one. I'll give you 1 hour. Not that bad, you know. But now it seems that like, oh, tired hands. Hey, we're gonna wait 5 hours around the block.
Now that you can put your chair in the line. People put the chair in the line. They don't have to stand there.
So they can go get a cup of coffee or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh dear Lord. Oh no. That's bullshit.
Wait till you get to the after show, and I make a proposal about us going to stand in line. All right.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Dave, what do you got?
Well, I guess I'm going to go to number one because I already have my number two. But my number one overrated is the political correctness of the beer. And I know that politics is not part of this podcast. But seriously, the number of times I've seen somebody complain about sexist, racist, whatever you want to say about a beer, and then their local brewer puts out a beer that has the same kind of name, and like, I love big titties, and like, I love big titties, but they hate anybody who says that they love big titty beer from Oklahoma as a misogynist. I hate that fact that people can't take a joke because they're not local, and they take it so seriously. That's like, guys, nobody really cares. If they're really racist or really misogynist, yes, hammer them. But if there's a joke, calm the fuck down.
Just out of curiosity, is Big Titties a milk stout?
I hope so.
Don't milk stout. Merlot Mike, is that you?
Oh, man, sick burn.
I'm going to get in big trouble for that one.
Who cares? All right. So we burned our first two.
We're going to skip this topic, I guess.
Yeah, fuck it. Staying in.
Scrape the barnacles off this one.
Yeah. Going into this, I knew this show was going to be a mess. I really don't care.
I think this actually went really well.
Awesome. We're not done yet. We're not done digging, Ed. We're not done.
And I'd like to hear your comments on my most overrated.
All right. Last ones. Last one. Number three. Final ones. Okay. Man, I'm looking forward to this. YouTube beer reviews. I fucking hate watching YouTube beer reviews. They're all the fucking same. Let me stand here at a desk, pour this out into a snifter, and then take a big whiff on it so you can tell how deeply I'm inhaling this beer. And then I go, oh yeah, I'm getting a chocolate, and oh yeah, I'm getting molasses and coffee notes. Yeah, the coffee notes are just swirling around inside of there. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you say the goddamn same thing about every beer. Then you take a sip and we watch you. And then you talk about it. And it's 5 minutes of just absolute pain. I'll admit.
Five?
I hate watching these things. No, they're not live.
I've seen multiple that go to 12.
Yeah, you're right. They go on for way too long. And they're all the same, and it's the same construct, the same conceit every single time. There's nothing that's interesting or new about it. And look, I'm sure that there's some pot calling the kettle black by me doing a podcast about beer, but I try to make it a little bit different. And if you don't think it is, thank you for listening anyway. But these YouTube beer reviews, by and large, are just the same thing over and over and over again. And I just have such a total lack of respect for most of what they do.
I agree with you. It's boring. It's not inventive. There's no production to it.
Yeah.
And it's shocking how many people will watch that. It's unreal.
I'll be honest. What really burns my ass is just how many people they have following. They're shitty. Their subscriber numbers are just unbelievable.
A lot of people agree with you. I'll just throw it out there as that.
All right. Moving on. I'm glad I got that out. I feel better. Ed, what do you got?
Oh, geez. I forget where I was going here. Gunner Dave. I forget.
Uh-huh. That's Ed's got to find one more thing.
Cut out. We got to cut out. That's it. I already got my number one.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Hey.
What's your number one overrated, Ed?
Well, my number one overrated was Bottle Releases with Lines, and then I also had Goes as Sour, which I was told I was not allowed to talk about.
What? Go for it.
All right.
Who told you no?
Ready? Fuck out of here.
Who told you no?
All right, here we go.
I heard it wasn't Styles. All right.
Yeah, Styles. All right, here we go. Go ahead.
All right. One of my number one will be Gozas / Sours. Now, I do like Sours when they're done with respect and they're okay. When they're over the top and they give you heartburn right away, I'm like, ugh. Gozas, I've tried for the past 2 years. Every single Gozas has come my way. I've tried it. And they all taste like what I feel like my clothes tasted like when I used to get out of basketball practice. It is salty. It is weird. And I don't know why people have convinced themselves to like it, but it just seems to me, I don't get why people are into it. And it's such a popular style right now. And I'm like, why are we not going back to the bourbon barrel age stuff, and people just want these salty, sour, weird 4% things? I don't know. Maybe you guys can tell me. I hate Gozas.
Now I'll tell you, I had my first Goza in 2010 at a Portsmouth Brewery in New Hampshire, and it was one of the best things I've ever had in my entire life. I couldn't believe that my palate was like, what the hell is this? Since then, I've been like on the Goza train. Everybody make a Goza amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, all the shit that they have out there, half that shit is awful. It's undrinkable. Okay. It's not drinkable.
So maybe it's
I
100%
agree with you. If somebody does it right, it's amazing. If you don't, it sucks so bad that you can't even drink the beer. You have to dump that right in the drain. So I 100% agree with you.
The one 2 years ago, Westbrook Goza, and everyone's like, and I tried it and I go, this tastes like sweat socks. Like it does. It tastes like I just went dump on my armpit, and I'm like, oh my God. And
it's so much better on draft than it is in the can.
That makes a little more sense. Okay.
I totally agree with that.
But on draft you have a Goza, it's amazing.
That's also a beer that I think has a very short shelf life because it can pick up an acetone flavor to it very quickly. It's got to be very fresh, canned. If it travels, it kills the style. You got to drink it at the brewery. For me, it always does pick up that nail polishy remover bullshit flavor if it sits around too long. Yep. I don't disagree with you. I love sours, but and I drink them all the time. But when they're not done properly, they just turn into an absolute mess.
I like subtle sours. You know, some people go over the top, and I think that's where they lose their audience a little bit. And it's kind of like that, hey, we can do it bigger and better. And I think that's weird.
Yeah. All right. Hey, it was great. Let's kick it to the after show. Before we do that, anything for the good of the order? No.
I have a good shout out to my dog Molson, man. I love her. That's it.
Yeah, no, buddy.
I got a little left.
Hey.
Gotcha. Sorry for you.
That's it. I love it. It's amazing. People who don't have dogs. When you have a dog, they are literally man's best friend. They are there for you at all times. So
I got the fortune to meet your dog once, and Molson is a good dog. All right. Hey. On that note, let's kick it to the after show. Ed, thanks for coming on. We'll throw your Twitter and stuff on the links. Easy. Thanks for coming on. We'll make sure we have your Twitter link in there, too. This wasn't a complete shit show, so I think we'll do it again. Although it was close.
All right, very close.
Come on. This was awesome. I thought we did all right.
Yeah. Hey. All right, let's go to the after show. All right, let's go.
Commence the operation shutdown after show.
All right, welcome to the after show. Daryl, you gonna jump on here?
He's urinating. All right. Can I, the after
can,
show.
Can I urinate again?
Yeah, you go. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. All right.
Let us try this again. Commence the operation shutdown after show.
My neighbor Daryl's jumping in here.
That's what I got going on. Underrated.
All right. Hey, by the way, the after show is just a... You thought the real show is a mess. Wait till you see this shit. All right. Let's have a little gap.
Well, hold on. Yeah. I did not come prepared, so it could be like a true mess.
Yeah, because did I?
None of us did.
We don't do prepare.
Well, I don't have a mic. So yeah, I'm going to be jacking on Dave over here.
It's all right.
All right, hit it. Right.
That's the title of my memoirs.
Jacking on Dave over here.
One more time. Take three. Commence the operation shutdown after show.
All right. Welcome to the after show. This is going to be a mess. We still got Easy here. We got Ed. And we got someone else. We got Easy's brother, Daryl, but without his other brother, Daryl. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Almost a joke I never heard before.
Yeah, I know. I can't help myself. All right, so Daryl, what are you drinking there?
Well, on Thursday nights, Easy usually invites his neighbor over, and that's me, thankfully, to enjoy some quality beers. His brother-in-law hit up Sabatini's recently and picked up a couple of Soul beers. We're drinking Rage Quit, which was just okay. It was a session Soul beer.
That was for you, Ed. That was for you.
I've had many a Soul beer. I've stood in line for Soul beer. I like the flavor that he's
just trolling the shit out of you, Ed.
And the second one we're having here is we're drinking Swamp Witch right now, which is the Cedar Plank brewed stout, which is very interesting. As it warms up, it's getting a little richer. But yes, it's been another very nice night at Easy Pretzels bar.
I saw that release for the Cedar Plank beer. I just assumed it would taste like a Hope Chest.
I'd also like to say that I loved you in District 9.
Wait for the sequel.
Oh, District 9 was such a good movie. Yeah. All right. So, Daryl, you got any, we're going to just throw it to you because what the hell? You got any underrated, overrated? Come on. What do you got?
Overrated. You know, most of my beer experiences has come through Easy Pretzel and his very generous bar. Really got into the beer scene because of him and his enthusiasm for the beer scene, which is why he's an ongoing member of your podcast. So when I first started drinking beers, IPAs were definitely not a style that I enjoyed. It was a palate wrecker for me. It just did things to my mouth that I would not let anyone do to my mouth. Noted. But because
it's not what I heard.
Well, wait for the second movie. Because he's hosted so many beer exchanges, you know, IPAs were introduced to me so many times over and over again that one day it just finally clicked. So the underrated has definitely has to be the IPA. Maybe even the double IPA.
Cool.
That's coming from someone that's coming into the scene.
Got it. That's good.
Yeah, you know,
that's a new perspective.
Once it clicks, you just want more of it. You crave it. You know, I was a stout drinker. Guinness was my go-to beer.
Guinness is a entry point for a lot of craft beer drinkers.
Definitely, and I drank it for years, and I was content with what it brought to me. You know, I'd go to a bar, get a pitcher of Guinness, and be happy, and you know, finish her off, and go home none the wiser, knowing that there were all these other amazing beers out there.
Nice. All right, I'm switching it up.
Please do.
Switching up. I open up beer number 3. I went with Presidente Cerveza Pilsner beer out of the Dominican Republic. I decided to go with, now that I know, we've been really political this episode, so I'm going to just do it at the expense of a joke. Now that we are an actual banana republic, I figure I should start getting used to drinking beer from one.
Make a record great again.
Make beer great again.
Drink America great again.
There you go. All right. So, Ed, do you have any honorable mentions?
I had some, but everyone stole them. I will say this. I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I ran out of... Everyone stole my stuff, so...
Yeah, sorry about that. Dave, did you have any?
The one I didn't have for the underrated was a lager. I think lager's really hard to make and really hard to appreciate because it's just that's the beer you had, a Yingling, and you realize there are breweries like Jack Abbey and all these places that are making amazing lagers. It's really hard, and I love lagers.
Yeah, I want to appreciate lagers more. They're just it's hard to find really good lagers. I think part of the reason why lagers don't catch on more is the prolonged brewing process. It's ales just brew so much faster, right?
Yep. Yep. My very first homebrew I did it was a lager, and it took months and months and months to make, but it's delicious.
Yeah. A really good lager. Can't beat it. All right. Let's talk some football. Dave, you are a Patriots fan. Ed, you are a Falcons fan. Daryl, you are agnostic. And I'm a Steeler fan. So let's talk about where our prospective teams sit. Dave, I'm going to start with you. Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being we are absolutely 100% without a doubt going to win the Super Bowl. I bet my family's life on it. 10, we are going to win a Super Bowl. To 1, we are the Cleveland Browns. Where are you?
At this point, I put ourselves in an 8. Our defense has a little bit of a struggle issue, but I truly believe that Bill Belichick is a crazy genius, that he tries to lose games on purpose. And I know right away, if I was a handicapper, I would walk into a game and say, we are going to lose this game. I tell my wife, like, I don't really care about this game because we're going to lose. And she's like, why do you say that? I was like, I know we're going to lose. He wants us to lose certain games to show that we need to improve as a team or get better on defense or whatever it is. But I think the only team in the AFC that can compete, a little bit of KFC, KC.
Have another.
I'm thinking about chicken. I'm really hungry now. KC, a little bit of about Pittsburgh. And then in the NFC, Atlanta's Matt Ryan's horrible. Then you got Seattle, and then you got Dallas. I'm not scared of Dallas. I'm scared of Seattle. That's it. The only team that I'm really scared about is Seattle and Kansas City. That's it.
Ed almost rage quit. We almost went so hard as nails over that.
It's because Matt Ryan's fucking horrendous. Hey, it's 4th and 2. Let's throw a 30-yard bomb. How many times have we had 8 games this year he's done that? No, what the fuck?
That's winning. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they're winning games. They lost a game on the road to a conference opponent. Who cares? They are going to be fine. They have the Cardinals who are coming to Atlanta to... I don't know if you've check the Cardinals' history, but 1 o'clock games on the East Coast are not their thing. And then they have the Chiefs, which I'll be in attendance for. And let me tell you, they don't lose when I'm in attendance. And then they also go to L.A. Then they have San Fran at home. And then they also have they have 4 out of 6 at home. They should be perfectly awesome. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine in the regular season, but we're talking about the playoffs. Yeah, who cares? Teams like Atlanta only care about the regular season.
No.
Teams like the Patriots care about the
This is a building year. They're making the playoffs. If they win a game, they're way above what anybody wants. That exceeds expectations.
If they ever win a Super Bowl,
who cares about winning a goddamn playoff game? That means nothing. I care about winning a championship. That's all I care about.
If you ever win a playoff game.
Love Mike Smith. He was your guy. Jesus.
If you ever win a playoff game, that's a fucking miracle. That's what you guys do. You lose in the playoffs.
They almost went to the Super Bowl in 2012. Jesus Christ. I feel like I'm being yelled at by the United... What? You guys are dicks. What the hell? I feel like I'm being yelled at by what a 90s movie feels the future would be talking to on the telephone.
We're dicks. Like, that's a fucking...
Yes.
That's a real development. Okay.
No, I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger starring in a movie where he's like, I'm looking at 14 phones.
I just don't understand why teams care about not winning the Super Bowl. Oh, the quarterback, he'll be fine for a couple years. No, I need a quarterback.
You know why? Because sometimes making it to the playoffs is a nice step up.
Well, Dave, this is something you and I will actually agree on. Winning Super Bowls is what this is about. Our teams actually do those things. There's lots of other teams that just don't. So, but before we move on to me asking Ed for his 1 to 10, Dave, did you say that the Steelers kind of still concern you? Would they concern you in the playoffs?
Ben Roethlisberger is a great quarterback. Yeah. That guy can... He could get hit 50 times and not get hurt somehow. He's goddamn Michael Myers. So of course I would be concerned about that guy because he's got like 6 guys that are suspended for drugs that I don't know, they're not on a team yet or wherever they are. I don't even know. Who knows? The Rooneys are the team of the people. And meanwhile, they got guys like protecting James Harrison who beats the fuck out of his wife. And they have other ones that are protecting, you know, they're fake police officers protecting people. So. Yeah, fuck the Steelers and their goddamn morals, first of all.
Yeah, I know. I mean, although, you know, it's not like we ever had a tight end who just, you know, started executing people. Moving on.
The Patriots guy, he killed 4 people.
but 2 of those were while he was a Florida Gator, right? So that does not count.
And as soon as they find out he killed people as a Patriot, they did cut him. So give the credit to Belichick for murdering during the service.
Belichick. For Belichick, there are some things that are more important than football.
Ben has his own shit about Georgia bathroom, so I don't want to hear about that bullshit.
I am not a Ben Roethlisberger defender, so
don't worry about that. Whatever happens. Look, I think they have a good enough team that can win the Super Bowl.
Hey, wow. High praise indeed. All right, Ed, as you tip the bottom up from your drink.
Please bring us up.
Number 10. You're going to win the Super Bowl. Absolutely 100% guaranteed. Yeah, you're never going to be there. Or number 1, you're the Cleveland Browns. Where are you?
So wait, what am I doing here?
How confident are you in your team?
The Atlanta Falcons from 1 to 10. 1 being 10 being good.
I'm going to give them a 6. I'm just over the midpoint.
Okay.
They could catch fire at any point. They hit a rough spot with the Eagles, but I think they needed a rest. I think they're going to come out. They have 4 out of 6 home games at home, and I think that they're going to kind of make a tear. There you go.
Hey, all right. I'm at a 5. The Steelers are 4-5, but they've got 2 games of the Browns left, which means that they're – mathematically, they're actually 6-5.
It's a great thing.
I mean, really, if you're a if Tomlin loses to the Browns at any point and misses the playoffs, he should be fired. And the Steelers don't fire coaches. If we get into playoffs, we can make some noise. But we really should win the North. But damn it, they're making it so fucking hard this year. Daryl, you're a football agnostic. So
his wife loves the Eagles, though. So
his wife loves the Eagles. All right, hey. I'm gonna just put you on the spot. Who do you like out of the NFC? Who do you like out of the AFC for the Super Bowl right now? We're a little bit past the midpoint. Who do you like?
I am so agnostic. I couldn't pick a team from each division.
No, wow. All right, fair enough.
If I look at Dave's refrigerator, I can see the helmets.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I can't even go that far.
Okay. Can you make a pick under drop ceilings? Is that?
Half of that is they saw a zillionaire. All
right, hey,
that's the best pick I tried yet, right there.
I'm not going to share that with the listeners at home. Let's be glad they're not viewers. Anyone want to make a prediction for the Super Bowl, Dave?
I'm going to say it's New England with 27 and Seattle with 24.
Ooh, I like it. With a score, it's very specific. Ed, you want to make a Super Bowl prediction at this point?
Seattle, New England. I'm called. I think that's where it's going.
Really? No one wants to jump on the Dallas train.
That fucked out. Dak Prescott is not gonna get there.
No rookie's taking them.
Not gonna happen.
I don't know that.
Seattle's defense is so good. They're like front. The 11 are amazing. Like, oh yeah, they have Earl Thomas and like Bobby Wagner, like Mike Bennett. I'm like, holy shit, they have like 11 guys that are good in defense.
Yeah.
No way, unless there's a lot of injuries that.
I think they're hitting their stride at the right time. They have, you know, five, like 6 weeks. To, right? You know,
but they played. I mean, they'd be fuck out of here. Fuck out of here.
How about the Raiders? Anyone see them?
No, they can put up points.
They can put up a lot of points. You know,
the only person that can win the AFC is New England, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City. Not Oakland.
Kansas City can't win.
Because they are loaded on defense.
They are, but
they're destined to not win.
Yeah.
And if Jamal Charles comes back, you know, week one of the playoffs,
not even chance.
As a knee injury person, he has a chance. He has a chance.
I'm gonna mix it up a little bit. I'm gonna say Raiders Seattle, and Seattle wins it.
Raiders Seattle.
Yeah.
There's no way the Raiders are gonna beat New England. There's no way.
Maybe they don't have to beat New England.
Who can beat Pittsburgh?
Huh? I could see Pittsburgh beating New England. Then Pittsburgh get choking it out.
They're not gonna choke Raiders. They're not gonna choke against the Raiders. No way.
Yeah. Hey, I can't pick what you guys picked. I had to go different. So,
is Pittsburgh even in the mix right now?
I think Pittsburgh's gonna win the North. They are.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah.
Sucks. They're not very good.
Baltimore does.
Well, I'm not. I have no idea what's going on in that division, but
it's because you watch the NFC.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's stay with football a little bit. Any predictions for MVP? Dave, I know who you're going to take.
I actually think that Ezekiel Elliott is the MVP, ooh, and there should not even be a debate or a question about it.
That's my
Tom
pick,
Brady.
Too.
I love Tom Brady. There should not be a question or a debate.
So
he has been the best player all year. He has dominated the NFL. There's no question he's the best player.
Do you think his domestic violence issues are going to keep him out?
No. I think nothing has to do with his domestic violence issues. Because first of all, it's all bullshit. Second of all, he has been the best player in the league. It's not a fucking Hall of Fame vote where you're debating whether he's an ethical person. He has been the most valuable player in the football National Football League. Who cares? He's the best. Yes.
So rookie of the year and MVP.
There's not a question, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I do. I also think that I do think his domestic violence issues are going to creep in, and the writers are going to get cold feet on him.
Fuck the writers! Think? If you look at the goddamn look at the evidence of the case, the police said he's innocent.
Yeah, but the writer.
Why am I bringing that?
You know how it is. Come on.
Fuck that bullshit.
The facts don't matter. It's about what people think. It's about perception.
That's why my number one issue was.
All right. The Tom Brady football commercial. Foot Locker commercial. How great was that? I'm not a fan of Tom Brady, but that commercial is so good.
Fuck. And love it.
Did you watched it, right?
I haven't seen it yet.
Seen it?
Oh, go YouTube right now. I talk it up and how great it is and how amazing Tom Brady is as a human being.
Okay, but I'm going to give you a platform. Use it.
Tom Brady calls out the NFL for lying against his thing. If you actually look at their data, scientific data, his balls weren't deflated. They literally put out the data that says, by the way, his balls weren't deflated, and we have scientific evidence to prove that. But we're still going to fucking suspend him for fucking 4 games. And he calls them out and says, shitheads, you ask a question, and then this. Fuck you. Tom Brady is the greatest human being on the face of the planet. I love him. I'm wearing a Tom Brady Under Armour and my Uggs, so fuck you.
Oh, you're wearing the Uggs. You're wearing the Uggs. Yeah, right. Come on. Oh, Jesus Christ, he's wearing the Uggs. Oh, my God. All right. Good Lord. That's terrible. That's really terrible.
All right, Ed, did you get to watch the video or no? No, his video is struggle piece.
Yeah, it is.
No, I have some sort of... You can get rid of blemishes with this digital thing. And that's great.
You had to have that new phone.
Basically, Tom Brady called out and said the NFL lied about his investigation. He said, fuck you. And he walked out of a diner yelling at some guy about it. It was funny.
So good. All right.
Good for him. He should.
All right, we're gonna wrap up the after show here.
Yes, I just we definitely should because I'm done with this.
I was playing a little bit of Operation Shutdown Bingo. So if you're looking to clear out your cards, we mentioned Pizza Boy, Sealands Grove, Tom Brady. I'm sure I mispronounced the brewery or a beer. The only one that we didn't have was Ed claiming that someone was going to back up the dump truck full of money. Other than that, I think we hit all the general tropes of a Bearcat podcast.
I hate that I did not get the backdrop.
I tried really hard not to use the term phenomenal, but I probably did.
I like that.
I say it all the time. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? No.
I'm done. That's it.
Done. It's been a long night. Daryl.
Final thought.
Daryl's got a final thought.
Oh, I like this. Jerry Springer.
This is so good. It better be good. No pressure.
I forgot to preempt my most underrated.
Yeah.
It was the IPA. That's for a new herbert beer drinker.
Okay.
You know, as you probably know, IPA, it's an acquired taste. It takes a while for you to, you know, really enjoy what's happening in your mouth.
This sounds a lot like my prom night. It's a lot of convincing.
I almost had a spit take all over my Mac. Oh, my God.
Well,
just want to clear that out because you know there's probably your listeners they know IPAs, they love IPAs in their mouth,
and who knows what else? Oh,
they like to swallow. They like the they do all that.
Right. Well, but sometimes you got to massage the beer inside your mouth, you know, to really get the flavor out. So
just trying to clear that up a little bit.
Right. And, this episode's gone off the cliff.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, when you
I got Super Bowl.
Oh,
winner.
You got Super Bowl. Oh, holy shit. Here we go.
Lager versus IPA. IPA wins. Done.
Is this like the craft version of Bud Bowl?
Yes.
Bud Dry.
Wait, what?
Bud Dry. Done. The win.
We should do a Bud Bowl. That'd be amazing.
Can we still get Bud Dry? Is that still a thing?
Not available.
Can we still get Bud Dry?
That's a serious question.
I hate every single person on my screen right now.
Why?
I was supposed to be asleep 25 minutes ago.
Jesus. Oh, it's barely 11:30.
I'm kidding.
It's not even 11:30.
I'm joking.
No, first you're not. All, you're fucking old.
You did not back me yelling about the feminist view of the misogynist movement. You had no view. You just shut the fuck up.
What did the feminists feel about the misogynist? What the hell?
I wanted you to say something so bad, you'd be so in trouble.
The problem is that
I hate sexist beer names. Oh, Zero Day's got two fingers. Cul-de-sac Jones, I love it.
Oh, and trust me, I have voiced my opinion about that.
The real issue here is that of all of us, the only one whose spouse or significant other actually listens to this show is Ed.
Mine does. She doesn't fucking care.
Oh, she listens.
I can't believe you used the word spouse.
Spouse or significant other. Whatever. Yeah. Wife. Better half. I'm going to hit stop.